lovely listeners, and welcome to this episode of Focus on Arts. Very excited to introduce to you Jim Moriarty, who is going to talk to us about a play that was written by his wife a number of years ago now, 2005, but is growing beyond just being a play, so there's a lot more to talk about it. Hi, Jim.
Kia ora, how are you, Nikki? Look, sorry about not being able to connect up face to face, but look, we're here now, and that's what matters. And
exactly.
I can hear you, and you can hear me. So, kia ora koutou, e te whānau katoa, e ngā iwi, e ngā hau e whā, kei te mihi mana hau ki a koutou. So, greetings and hello to everybody.
Thank you. So, I mentioned in the introduction that we're going to be talking about a play called The Battalion, which was written by your wife, Helen Pierce Otini.
Yes.
And a number of my listeners might not be aware of what this actual stage play is about. So if you could just kind of give me a bit of a background about it, that would be great.
Okay, so this is a play that's been in our repertoire since 2005. That's part of our theatre company called Te Raka Hui Te Wairotapu Trust. And that name was given to me by a queer of Ngāti Raukau and Ngāti Tō called Haraka Horomona, Charlotte Solomon. Many years ago, I knew that the best way to tell the stories that I wanted to tell was if I set up my own, you know, trust and got about it. And it's proved to be successful. We're now clients of Creative NZ, who fund us to a level where we don't have to panic too much about where the next dollar comes from.
Because you recognised that there was a need for this and you went, right, I'm going to do something about it.
I mean, I've been a client project funding of Creative NZ. Hey, look, I'm 70-odd. But I think being in the theatre has kept me, I guess, you know, relevant and valid. My youngest children are 22 and 20, and they remind me all of the time about, you know, what it is that their age cohort is and how they want to hear stuff. So this play came about when my partner Helen and I were running a SIPS residential program out of a place in Adelaide Road. We called it the Space, and it was named after my mother. It was actually called Rangikauia, and we were looking after SIPS children, and then we would house them at a couple of properties we had in Island Bay. And we did that for about 7 years. We had about 200 young people come through our doors.
Wow.
And most of them, dare I say, had a successful experience with us. Some, according to their opinions, didn't, and they're allowed to have their opinion. Anyway, during that time, we were focusing on education, we were focusing on work experience, and we were focusing on tikanga and creativity.
Right.
And that was the different, tools that we were using. And so, as a creative offering, because there were a lot of young boys and young girls, we wanted to help them connect back to an important time in history through their whakapapa. And nearly all of us in Aotearoa have war veterans in our history.
Yep,
and
I do. My grandee on my mum's side, he flew for the Air Force.
Yes. Well, you look at the resurgence in folk attending the, you know, the Anzac parade, the RS.
Yep.
I mean, it's just incredible. And I think it's because no matter what else is happening, I know climate change is upon us, and that's real. Tough economic times for most people at the moment, but you know, we're still pretty privileged here in Aotearoa.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of what else you see going on in the world, and we look back in history and we go, gosh, my grandfather, my father, my uncles, that generation of people went to war in a foreign land because it was the right thing to do at the time, and basically we have some freedoms today as a result of their lives and giving their lives. And so we were working primarily in the, you know, the rangatahi care space with Māori and PI kids, boys and girls. And so we thought, how can we connect them to that really iconic and historical time in history when young people about the same age as them went on this huge journey across the other side of the world, some of them fibbing about their age and stuff, to have this experience, but to, you know, to give on behalf of the country that they represented and their iwi and their hapu and their whānau. And so Helen came up with this idea of writing a play about the Māori Battalion. Her own personal family history is in the army. You know, her great-great-grandfather hurt in the First World War, the Boer War, the Second World War, you know, consecutive wars throughout the course of history. So we've been doing work in that arena since then.
So the concept around this was, I actually had the privilege of seeing Otaki College perform this show last year, and it was amazing. I was absolutely blown away. The concept around it is that it's two young guys who have been sent to, as they call it, a one-cow town, because maybe the city life is not leading them necessarily in the right direction. And while they're there, they find out some family history about five young men from that town who set off to join the 28th Māori Battalion. And as you said, some of them lied about their age. Some of them weren't even close to being the age they should have been.
That's right. And one of the other key focuses in it is that whole intergenerational thing, so that, you know, mokopuna, like grandchildren, can learn from, you know, the older generation, a war vet who gently but, you know, firmly takes him through his own, you know, teenage rebellion. And then you find that both generations have a whole lot of stuff in common, let alone being blood related.
So they have a connection. And even what I liked about it as well is what was going on with Paura, who was the veteran, the old fella. It was, even though it was a different decade, a different century, it was still really relevant. You still had young people who felt like the town that they were in had nothing to offer and they wanted to go on great big adventures.
That's right. Really, it's about connecting, you know, and it doesn't matter what age or generation or what time in history, who do you connect with? You know, teenagers go through, or young people go through that whole period of questioning why, where, when, and what for. And that's normal, and they're going to continue to do that even though we're in an avalanche of information, you know, day in, day out. That questioning's still going to go on. And so in Kurapaura's generation, you know, if he was alive, there's only one Māori Battalion member left today. And if he was alive, he'd be in, you know, in his late 80s or early 90s. And this generation of young people who, you know, might even be today, be 14, 15, 16, 17. There are some constants. And so things like commitment, you know, loyalty, redemption, learning through experience. War has been with us forever as the people on Earth. And I don't know whether it's ever going to stop being part of who we are. But it is an experience that can define you or destroy you. And so through the course of this play, these young people learn a lot about how their grandparents' generation managed to survive that journey, and as a result learn something themselves about what it means to be resilient, what it means to, you know, make the most of opportunities you get in the right here and right now. It's a story that I reckon, you know, it's been around for us over 20 years, and I think it'll be still relevant and valid in 20 years' time, because you can change the gender of the two lead characters. And in the play, you saw Rimi and George were played by young women.
Yes.
But it can be played by men. It can be played by boys. Kurapaura is a pretty constant. But you've got to go back into history and back into our pukapapa to learn that, you know, some of the lessons in life, they're universal, transferable, and timeless. It's like good Shakespeare. You know, the best of Shakespeare's lessons, I think, will be valid still in 10, 15, 20, 50 years' time, as are the lessons and the themes and the metaphors inside this play called the Battalion. We probably performed it to, I'd say conservatively, probably a million people in Aotearoa have seen this play live over 20 years. You know, we've taught it to pretty much every secondary school in the country, universities, tertiary institutions, and then we go into a situation where we'll work with a specific community for like 10 weeks and create the play with their community. And Ōtaki College was the last one that you saw us. We are intending to do it with Ngāti Tour next year, my own iwi, and I might have to put my acting shoes back on.
You might have to be caught up.
Well, I'm going to play him as the older guy, and you know, some lucky young fella can play him as the younger fella, maybe my funny. Well, I think so, and it's the same with the character of Eleni Pelor. You know, a young Greek person could play her as the younger one, and someone could play her as the older one, just to bring, you know, the reality into to today's context. But it's, you know, when you work collective and group theatre, and we do it under our own style of theatre called Theatre Marae, which is basically best of universal theatre anywhere, where you create a family and you take care of everybody in the family, and no one ever gets kicked out of our family. If people leave, it's because they choose to, but we offer everybody the same opportunities and the best support that we can give to them from the get-go. And, you know, usually we have 90% retention when we start these projects. It's hard work. They've got to commit to it. And we try and give them what is almost equivalent to a professional live theatre experience. Hundreds of New Zealand young people who have gone on to study drama or film, you know, have come through our theatre style and have been part of the Battalion. sit with them to this very day, and they say it's one of the most valuable experiences they've had in their life.
I was very privileged to get the opportunity to interview some of your longer-serving students, as well as some of the new ones, and they were just awe-inspiring. And like I said, I mean, the play itself, it made me cry. I may have woohooed very loudly at the end. But what I'm really excited to read about this, Jim, is that you guys have taken it another step.
Yes.
You have got involved with an educator by the name of Susan Batty, and she has created an educational resource out of this play. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
So the play's in print now, so you can get through Play Market, who are, you know, one of the biggest playwrights agencies in Aotearoa. So you can buy the book through there, you can purchase the rights to present it through them. But additionally to that, and it's been the case since I've been in theatre, that, you know, you can have a play, but they have the resource material, the investigative material that looks all the different themes that attach themselves to the play. And Susan Batty's done work for us before, and she's created resource material for this particular play as well. She's very comprehensive. She's almost a perfectionist. She's an accomplished playwright. She was a drama teacher at Epsom Guild. And, you know, she's still engaged in the industry. She was the president of, I think, of the New Zealand Drama Teachers Association for a long time. So we went to who we consider the best person to do the job, and she's done a great job for us. Alongside that, we have filmed the work as well. I think post-COVID, everybody who makes theatre for the black box, you know, for the live stage, we all had to pivot. So what we've done with all our work since then is we have recorded it. Now, not all of it will end up in a format that might be useful, but that's our intention. And so we do have, you know, I think maybe like about 30-odd hours of tape of the battalion. And so what we're looking to do now is to edit that. So we've got the digital film version, we'll have the resource print material, and we'll have the actual printed play, so that schools who might want to produce themselves, or communities, have got all these resources to assist them to do their own interpretation of it, but with lots of research material available. And while I'm still alive, I'm going to be happy to go out and give people some answer any questions they might have. So lots of resources available, because our whole nation's fixation with war and supporting, you know, causes that seemed like foreign and alien to us on the other side of the world, fighting an unknown enemy almost. But ironically, that's had a hell of a lot to do with us being able to walk the streets reasonably safely and make the choices we can make in our lives in Aotearoa to this very day.
And the other thing is, as an experienced educator, Susan, is obviously there's been a lot of changes made recently in our education system, recognising the fact that we have a bicultural history and it hasn't really been focused on in our education system. So she felt, and coming on board with you guys, that this was a way for her to support teachers who are just beginning to introduce Te Ao Māori and our bicultural history into a modern curriculum.
Yep. Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, because there's a generation, like, I hope my children never have to go to war. No one ever has to go to war, but unfortunately, it's around us and about us. And what Susan's resource material provides, you know, for the student and the teacher, as a detailed look into these themes and how they affected New Zealand as a nation at the time. You know, back when the play was set, a lot of it set back in, you know, the 40s, when these young boys decided to go off to the big smoke and enlist in the army. And it tentacles all the way up to the present day. So you have to look backwards to come forward, and yet research is so important.
Oh, for sure.
You know, if you want to put on a piece of work, you've got to research the detail out of it and into it so that you can do a fair representation of what's going on.
And there's also, with her coming on board with this, because some schools who might be interested in this may not have a heck of a lot of Māori students or students who identify as Māori, but it's still a really important part of our whole history. And so knowing that you can still interact with it even if you don't whakapapa to any Māori iwi in New Zealand.
Absolutely. Look, I could honestly say to you that in all the variations and iterations of the work that we've presented, probably 50% of the roles in it, and they're written as Māori and as young people, have been played by non-Māori.
Yeah.
And that's okay by us, because, you know, for an actor, an opportunity to work cross-culturally, and as long as you respect that process and you do your research, you why not? Why not? Go for it. You know, that's my view on it. It might be different if then, you know, we got to a point where we wanted to make a feature film out of it. You would probably then cast ethnically and genderly, you know, in an appropriate manner. But in terms of it being an exercise in discovering about history, the whole acting thing, and theatre Marae, it belongs to everybody in that regard. And Susan's resource material, I think, will support people to have ownership over their involvement in it going forward.
Cool. And so if people want to look at this educational resource, they can actually get it direct from your website, can't they?
Yes, or they can get it through Play Market as well. There's a number of ways to get it. But, yeah, the website's a hell of a lot more up-to-date and fit for purpose than it used to be when we became recurrent funding clients of Creative NZ, part of the whole, you know, commitment and responsibility and the requirements for that relationship was to present ourselves in a much more accessible and visible way, and that's what we're doing. So we've got some great people on board now helping to make our comms look, you know,
up to date. I've hired people like that too.
Oh, they're good, eh?
They're really good.
You know, you can't do everything. People say, well, gee, that's great what you do, Jim. Oh, excuse me. There's so many other people involved in the making do, and I'm just one component. I guess if I'm good at anything, it might be, you know, the word. People say, oh, you're a rangatira, Jim. Well, I'll accept that on the basis that rangatira, one of the true meanings of it is to weave people, to weave things together. And maybe that's the, you know, the skill that I have, is that I can weave all the other requirements together, make people feel happy and safe doing what they do. They get rewarded for it. Off we go.
So the website is terakau, so terakau.org.
.nz,
and you can find all the information you need about the play itself, plus the educational resource. In the media release that the lovely Lily sent to me, it says that because it's been published in book form, you don't necessarily need to want to have to act it. It could just be something to give you as a reader or a person who's interested in history a fresh perspective on Aotearoa New Zealand's participation in World War II.
Absolutely. Why not, eh? You know, and I think there's so much information out there. I mean, I'm just so excited that there's so many New Zealand plays now looking at our whole history. You know, it's not a Eurocentric-only view of history anymore. We are looking at the history of the Indigenous, the First Nation, Tangata Whenua, and, you know, moving forward, their history for my white ancestors, who are sometimes called the colonizer, before they came here, and before then we've got our own relationships going on, let alone our relationships post that time with the rest of the world. Bring it right down to microscope. Here's the thing about the battalion, which deals with these young people from this small town who decide to go off to war, but it does it in such a way, I think, when you honour the personal, the close, the individual, if you tell that story true, then it will resonate universally.
Definitely.
That's what we want. We want to take this thing, you know, to the world, because it's a good play, full stop. Alan Scott, who I've got great respect for, he was a professor at Christchurch Canterbury University, and he was a theatre critic for many, many years for the press and other publications. You know, he has said many times that he believes this is one of the best plays he's ever come across. And I think so too. Not just because Helen wrote it, but because it looks at so many things that are relevant to us as people who grew up in this beautiful place called Aotearoa, New Zealand. We're just so lucky to be here. And I can't see the war as a process stopping in the universe anytime soon, can you?
No.
So although we might say we're non-aligned, somewhere in the future, who knows what's going to happen? We'll have to stand alongside somebody and say, this decision to go in and conquer and or fight and or destroy other people's lives is not right. And we may have to stand up again. Hey, if there was a war and I had to go, I'd probably go as a cook or a nurse or something like that, you know, or maybe as an entertainer. But, you know, that process hasn't left us as a human process yet.
You've just got to look at these guys, men and women, who've taken themselves off to Ukraine.
That's right, and died for their beliefs.
Yes, you know exactly. And we've got European Kiwis, we've got Māori Kiwis, we've got Kiwis of all types and descriptions who've gone, look, my country isn't jumping on board with this, and that's their call, but I 100% know I can help make a difference.
Look, it's I remember when I opened the recent O'Shea Shield competition. They asked me to do the Pi Corridor for them here in Wellington, because it was hosted at St Mary's and St Catherine's this year, because of all the fallout from Gabriel. So it was brought away from there and down to Wellington at short notice. Anyway, and I remember as a kid when I was in those competitions, and the biggest threat to us then was nuclear war. We had never reached a point in history, and I'm going back 50 years, with a single press of the button, we could blow the world up. Now, that threat still exists today, but there's other bigger threats, which are to do with, what's happening to Papatūānuku and Rangi and everything in between, the climate stuff. And, I look at my own kids and think, my God, what are we leaving you? What legacy are we leaving you? And it's so important that we script, we write, we document our experiences, because it's only through that and having access to that that those who are going to be in power in 5, 10, 15, 20 years, hopefully they don't make the same mistakes.
It's the proof, isn't it? It's the history, it's the reporting, it's the recording, so that, as you said, those ahead of us will hopefully not make the same mistakes, or will see better ways of dealing with the same situations.
Yes, because here we are all on this planet called Earth, and we're not that very far apart, any of us, really. At the end of the day, I think there's two things that cause all the conflict, and it's greed and fear.
Yeah.
And if we could tackle those at source, individually, and then, in your home, in your street, in your community, in your neighbourhood, then we'll go some way towards making it a more equitable place for all people on Earth.
Definitely. Thank you, Jim. Really appreciate your time. I've been chatting to Jim Moriarty about The Battalion, which is an amazing play that was written by his partner, Helen Pierce Otene, and has now been converted with the help of Susan Batty into an educational document or an educational resource that can be used by schools to help with talking about our bicultural history, in particular in this case the 28th Māori Battalion and what they achieved and went through in World War II. If you want to know any more about it, check out their website, Te Rākau, so terakau.org.nz. You'll find loads of amazing information on there. You'll find access to the book version or the bound version of the plays if you want to have an opportunity to check that out. But otherwise, Jim, thank you so much, and I look forward to maybe being able to catch another version of this in the future.
Thank you very much for persisting despite all the technical difficulties. We actually came back today with great aplomb. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks, Jim.
See you again in the future. Kia ora.
Okay, bye.
This program was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.org.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.